Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Thursday, May 14th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. A well-known Jackson activist is concerned that a moderate Republican will win Wyoming's governor's seat, so she's decided to throw her own hat in the ring. Rebecca Bextell is fashioning her campaign as an insurance policy against State Senator Eric Barlow. She's hoping to win the endorsement of the Constitution Party. That would mean she would only face Barlow if he wins the GOP primary. Bextell was at the center of the Checkgate controversy during this year's legislative session. She co-founded Jackson's Save the Rodeo Grounds movement in 2021 and has also been an outspoken opponent of affordable housing strategies. The Constitution Party will meet this summer to determine who it will endorse. Cheyenne is considering a temporary pause on new data center construction. Wyoming News Now's Grace Swanky reports the city council will decide on Monday.
I spoke with Councilman Mark Moody, the sponsor of the ordinance, about what this would mean.
The end goal is to actually have regulations in place, to actually have really heavy public involvement with this, with data centers.
The proposed ordinance is not a permanent ban on data centers and would not affect any currently under construction, but instead temporarily pause any new projects for 12 months. The ordinance would require city staff to study data center impacts, including electricity usage, electricity tariffs, closed-loop cooling systems, groundwater impacts, agricultural impacts, and land value.
That report comes from Wyoming News Now's Grace Swanky. Wyoming and Colorado will now collaborate on carbon storage wells near the state border, and that model may expand to neighboring states. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Merzbach reports.
These wells act like giant straws. They inject thousands to millions of tons of carbon dioxide into sealed-off rock formations deep underground. Those pores can extend for miles, according to Lily Barco with the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality.
While state borders are fixed, the geological formations required for safe carbon sequestration are not.
Colorado and Wyoming have signed an agreement that could be used by other states. They'll coordinate if there's wells within a mile of the shared state border. Barco says they'll ensure CO2 doesn't cause contamination of drinking water sources, and they'll protect landowners and help communities weigh in. Carbon storage isn't widely used yet, but it's seeing more attention right now. Many data centers want to rely on natural gas for energy, while canceling out emissions by injecting carbon into the ground. Critics argue they should rely on renewable energy instead. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Merzbach.
Public health advocates are breathing a sigh of relief after more than 70 Republicans voted alongside all but six Democrats to strip legal immunities for pesticide makers from the new farm bill, which just cleared the U.S. House last month. Public News Service's Eric Galatis has more.
The provision would have shielded pesticide manufacturers from health-related lawsuits. Jennifer Breon with Food and Water Watch says industrial agriculture's pesticide addiction is poisoning people in Wyoming and across the nation.
Folks certainly don't want to see huge corporations having immunity from any kind of lawsuit that might provide justice to cancer victims.
A recent study found that pesticide residue is likely behind increased rates of lung cancer in non-smokers under age 50 who ate an otherwise healthy diet rich in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. The new farm bill comes on the heels of recent Supreme Court oral arguments in Monsanto Company versus Durnell, which is expected to determine if a company can be held liable for failing to warn consumers about cancer risks linked to the weed killer Roundup. I'm Eric Galatis.
Those warm, dry, and windy conditions during this past winter may have set up challenges for Wyoming's landscaping plants in the spring. As Wyoming Public Radio's Erilise Wallace reports, horticulture experts say watch out for stress in those landscaping plants.
Jennifer Thompson is a horticulture specialist at the University of Wyoming. She says that persistent dryness alongside fluctuations in temperatures has created a range of plant damage.
We think that we'll be seeing a lot of what we call winter desiccation on evergreen plants, and then just general cold damage on different leaves and flowers and stems because we've had such a warm winter.
Thompson says that fruit trees may not produce much if later cold snaps damage blossoms. Thompson recommends consistent watering during dry conditions to allow plants to recover. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Aralise Wallace.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Vietnam veteran finally received a recognition he was owed decades ago. The Wyoming Tribune Eagle reports Lance Corporal Ronald Cooper was injured by a bomb while fighting, but he believed the documents that proved it had been lost in a fire. When his son-in-law heard the story, he jumped into action. It turned out the documents had survived, and in a surprise ceremony, Cooper was awarded a Purple Heart with his friends and family in attendance. A unique program in Rawlins just graduated its 100th participant. The Rawlins Times reports the Cage to Save program pairs shelter dogs with inmate handlers at the state penitentiary for a structured 9-week training period. The dogs learn basic obedience and work on individual struggles, while the inmates work on life skills like patience, accountability, and compassion. The program is only a few years old. Two Jackson kids have achieved Eagle Scout status from Scouting America. It's the highest rank in the organization. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports Coulter Buckland built several large wooden ladders along the Salt River for his project. Bill Robinson built 10 log benches for Grand Teton National Park. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Who was the first Secretary of State of Wyoming? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what was the first major automobile race that included Wyoming? Well, it was a biggie. That was the Great Auto Race of 1908. Automakers promoted the 22,000-mile race from New York to Paris, which crossed North America, Asia, and Europe, to convince consumers that these newfangled automobiles were a great alternative to horses. As you might suspect, the race was not without its hazards, with only 6 of the original 13 starters finishing in Paris. In fact, the Italian team was even waylaid by a pack of 50 wolves while traveling across Wyoming. Congratulations to John Morton, the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Palkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great spring day and join me again tomorrow.